Good morning. It is a privilege and honor to be in front of you again. I greatly appreciate that I'm given these opportunities. And there comes the echo. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church of the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey or your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. And we're so tickled that you're here. The announcements have been rolling through. If you wish to purchase an Easter lily, please get the envelope and money in by April 6th. Alana said the sooner the better, so you can get everything straightened out. And we're coming upon Lent. March 5th will be Ash Wednesday with a 7 o'clock service here, followed by the Wednesdays after that through March and part of April. We'll be doing a Lenten program of what Jacob refers to as confirmation class for adults. Though those of you who are recovering Lutherans and Catholics and the like, it is not at all like the catechism class you went through. It looks to be a really fun and interesting program. We're working out some of the specifics we'd like to do in the fellowship hall, but we want to make sure that Zoom is available. And since the camera's there and mounted, it's going to be some work, but we're going to make it work. If we have to do it in here, we can do it here. It's going to be casual. It's going to be interesting. I don't have the list in front of me, but some of the topics are, what is the Trinity? What is the Bible? What is UCC? And I know there's a lot of people who don't necessarily know all the ins and outs of that. It looks like it's going to be a fun time, questions and answers and the like. I think it would be a great thing to attend. I don't care if you're brand new or if you're a 105-year-old person who's going to church every time. You're going to pick up something out of this. I think it's going to be really enjoyable. Do you folks, and Miss Lori, does anybody have anything else that needs to be added or brought up? Or made notice of, or anything. Wow. Did you see how quiet the church got? Kind of spooky. Well, let's start the service then with passing of the peace. Keep in mind that each of you has to be comfortable. Some people are handshakers, some people are huggers, some people don't want to be involved with you whatsoever. So let's keep that in mind as we pass the peace. Go ahead. As you gather back together, stay up, stay up. It makes it easier.
Good morning, everyone. Please stand if you're able and join in the call to worship. Creator, we gather here today to worship you. Come with hearts full of gratitude and praise. We come to offer love to you and all of humankind. Come to seek forgiveness and to be made aware of your grace. We come to listen to the word and to be transformed by the Spirit. We ask to help and faith fellowship. Help equip us to be able to make a difference in the world. We come together today, times ahead, experience community, be filled with joy. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth. Amen. Please join in the opening prayer. O Lord, you have taught us that without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. Ask the Holy Spirit to pour into our hearts your greatest gift, which is love. For love is the true bond and small virtue. We humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. And if there are any brave children, you can come up and we have a little talk. I don't bite. I don't. I heard that. I don't. Looks like you're outnumbered. You're the only girl up here. You got to be really brave then, huh? Yeah. So, was it nice to wake up and see the sunshine and the roads all clear and that? No?
Yeah.
Why not? Oh, because you're a snow person. Okay.
I'm not a snow person.
Well, it's good to have different ideas. So, how would you define an enemy? Do we say they're a bad person?
No.
No? Okay. Do they do bad things? They do bad things. Is it someone we usually like? We don't like, okay. And let's try another word. What does the word love mean? You like someone? Can you like things?
Yeah.
And you like them a lot, right? You guys all agree. So do those two words go together? Can you love an enemy?
Not really.
Why not?
Because they're bad.
But what if by you loving them and being nice to them and talking to them, they become unbad? Would that be a good thing? So it's something we could try. Do you think it'd be tough?
Yeah,
a little? I think you're wrong there. I think it'd be a lot tough, especially some of the enemies that are out there. Because there's some really good people and there's some really bad people. But we would like everybody to change to be a good person, right? You know how we can do that?
By talking to them,
by being good to other people, and to hopefully make things change. That's kind of what we're going to talk about when you guys are gone. And you guys sound like you got a better grasp than I think they're going to get out of this. So you're doing real good. So should we all say a prayer together and I say something, we repeat it? Sound good? All right. You older kids, you can join in too. Dear God, give us the strength to love everyone. The people in our family, the people that we like, the people we don't like, and even who we consider enemies. Help us, Lord, to be the light in the world that causes change, and the ability to show peace and compassion, to all those throughout the world. Amen. Thanks, gang. I was kind of worried there was going to be nobody. And those of you not running off to Sunday school, please stand if you are able, and let's sing We Are the Church, page 550. Thank you.
Scripture readings this morning come from Psalms 37, verses 1 through 12, and 39 and 40. Don't get upset over evildoers. Don't be jealous of those who do wrong, because they will fade fast like grass. They will wither like green vegetables. Trust the Lord and do good. Live in the land and farm faithfulness. Enjoy the Lord, and he will give what your heart asks. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. He will act and make your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like high noon. Be still before the Lord and wait for him. Don't get upset when someone gets ahead, someone who invents evil schemes. Let go of anger and leave rage behind. Don't get upset. It will only lead to evil. Because evildoers will be eliminated, but those who hope in the Lord, they will possess the land. In just a little while, the wicked won't exist. If you go looking around their place, they won't be there. But the weak will inherit the land. They will enjoy a surplus of peace. The wicked plot against the righteous, grinding their teeth at them. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their refuge in times of trouble. The Lord will lead them and rescue them from the wicked, and he will save them because they have taken refuge in him. And now from Luke chapter 6, 27 through 38, behaving as God's children. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act, for he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Amy. And thank you, Lori, for helping us with music. Please allow me a moment of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I speak, and that you've guided my thoughts and given me the words to say, words that will touch our hearts and change our lives. I pray that you would use this message to draw those who hear it closer to you and to help us all grow in your faith. Amen. So 90% of pastors follow a calendar that's been established called the lectionary. It gives us ideas and Bible quotations to follow and build the service off of. And the information that we've been given this month is all about what God expects of us to do and how to be. And I don't know if it was planned this way, but it almost seems like the entire month was a sermon series, because every time throughout February, we were given a direction of what to do. And some of those themes have been, be willing to take a risk. You may not be appreciated by the people who are used to you. This is when Jesus was reading from the Torah in Nazareth, and he said a few things. He said that it was going to be fulfilled by him, and pretty much the audience kind of went, that guy, that's Mary and Joseph's kid. He's kind of full of himself, isn't he? So they just kind of saw him only as their friend's son and not who Jesus really was. We've got don't tell people what they want to hear, tell them what they need to hear. And don't wait till you're fully equipped, but go forth and God will equip you. And now today, Amy read from Luke, love your enemies. Who thought being a Christian or a follower of God was going to be easy? Because these directions that we've been given ain't that easy. Everything we've heard today will quite probably take us out of our comfort level, won't it? Let's do a little recap. Take no risks. Or, I'm sorry, it's the other way around, isn't it? Take risks. No thanks. I could get hurt physically, mentally, emotionally. Ain't doing it. Step outside the group of people you're comfortable with so that your gifts may be more easily seen. Nope. Tell people what they need to hear. Oh, good Lord, that never works out. Telling people what they need to hear? It's not going to work. Nope. And finally, go out not fully prepared, but go out and God will take care of you. You mean I can't wait till I've got everything packed, double-checked, triple-checked, and I know I've got everything? No. And maybe one of the toughest of all, but don't worry, don't judge, and love your enemy. That's kind of polar opposite stuff, isn't it? So we know what God wants us to do, don't we? Is it possible to do these things in real life? And can we live up to the obligations that Christ has put before us? Good questions. So let's take a look at some of these themes that have been put before us. And let's start with taking risks. Isn't this kind of what everybody that's supposed to help us tells us to do? Life coaches, therapists, counselors. Aren't you supposed to go out and try something? Take some risks. The old saying, nothing ventured, nothing gained. If you don't try to do something, take a risk, nothing's changed, has it? Everything stays the same. Boring. Why even bother? Maybe this isn't as tough of an idea as people think. I guarantee you that some things that you might try may not work. That's kind of the definition of a risk. But if it doesn't work, haven't you learned something? I'm going to misquote here, I think, but I believe Edison had once said that someone who questioned him as to, you realize it's taking you 100 tries to get the filament in that light bulb right. What do you say about that? You know, all the mistakes, all the errors. And he went, those weren't mistakes or errors. I now know 100 things that won't work. And you know, even asking a question sometimes can be taking a risk. But yet, if you're asked a question, don't you benefit by doing the research to find the answer? Or you hear some stuff from the other side? You get more information. You get an education, and it's shared. Hey, a benefit of a risk. And you know, that question might even start a conversation that you weren't even aware that you had to have. And maybe you mightn't have found a friend. Okay, one of the other ideas. Engaging in people in an unfamiliar place that aren't used to you. I know a lot of us are introverts. Doesn't that sound scary? I know a lot of us would not come up front and talk to a group of people, even if they are friends and family. That is scary. But it really isn't. What I think was meant is that we were meant to communicate with people who we don't know or really don't know our beliefs, who aren't familiar with our customs and the like, who don't look at us as just the Smiths, the Elsoms, the Stelsos, and the like, because we all know what those people are like. But yet if you go to someplace different, oh, who is this? What do they have to say? The filter of familiarity is removed. And what you say and what you do may have a more precise view. You got to be true to yourself, don't you? Your family and friends probably already know your feelings and what you're about. But others will absorb things that you bring forward in a whole different set of ways. You're going to open up to them new thoughts, new ideas, new ways of doing things. I found that people are even more responsive to things presented that they aren't aware of. You have to pay attention. You don't know what's going to come next. You don't know the back history. You're not looking at that person as if, I've been with them my whole life, I know what's going to happen. It gives a chance to further yourself. People won't see you as the son of Joseph and Mary, a person, no big deal, when in fact the son of Joseph and Mary was Jesus. We also have been told to go out and not wait till you're fully equipped. I know some people, and I'm honestly one of them, that if we're sent out and to do something and we don't have every contingency planned, everything covered about what might happen, the backup to the backup to the backup, and then hopefully having your wife with the list, things aren't ready to go. You seriously, self-confession, don't want to leave my house because I have to make sure all the light switches are in a certain way. So I'm definitely one who has to be equipped, something I need to work on. And a person like that is going to have a problem, because if you wait, you take all that time to get ready, you take all that time to equip, to pack, to double check, to have a backup to the backup, you're going to possibly miss something. Because when a moment's gone, it's gone. It doesn't come back. So do we want to be the people that sit back and kick ourselves because we missed an awesome opportunity because we were double-checking and triple-checking? Or do you want to be the person that says, I'm glad I went out and did that, even though I wasn't ready, and I made a difference? I had that opportunity. And you know something? What I really didn't have, I didn't need, or it was given to me in a whole different way. And now today, Amy read from both the Psalm and the Scripture, love your enemy, no need to worry, and don't judge. Wow. These are ones that might be the hardest to digest. Because these are easy concepts. We know what judging is. We know what worry is. And every one of you could probably fill up 2 or 3 pages in a notebook of what or who an enemy is. So looking at the psalm, I think the worry part is easy to unpack. Worry is a feeling that hinders us and prevents us from doing things. This, too, I am very well informed with or informed with. And 90% of the time, what we're worrying about is something we cannot control, does not happen, and is something that's worse inside our heads than it is in reality. And not judging, that's actually not as difficult as I thought either. We know there's only one supreme judge, and those decisions that are made by God are strong and undeniable. But another side, I think, is that we aren't supposed to make quick judgments. Because we do have to judge. I mean, that's how we make decisions. I mean, deciding if this is good to eat or not good to eat, you're judging. Deciding if this road is clear and this road isn't, that's judging. So we do judge to some extent. But the quick judgment, the instantaneous thing, sometimes that doesn't work out. And you know something? There's very few things in this world that you have to make a judgment just like that on. Life and death, of course. But there's not a lot, really, that you have to instantaneously think about. So wouldn't it be better to listen to both sides, get some facts, find out what's all involved? What makes up this person? What makes up you? What perpetrated the action that we're discussing? What led up to it? Take the time to make an informed decision. Sometimes what you do in haste or instantaneously will last a lifetime and are difficult to take back. We don't need to make that mistake to begin with. And now some of the hard stuff. I think what the psalmist and Luke were talking about with the enemy and the evildoer encompasses a wide range of people. A generality, for say. My belief is that the writers were referring to individuals that can fall anywhere from someone we don't like to someone who causes crises to the people who actually call harm. Big group. And that other word, love, well, that's got many meanings too. Not to belittle or speak evil of any theology professors or translators alike, but to get the Bible into English went through a lot. Christ and Christ's people spoke Aramaic. The books were written in Hebrew and Latin. Germans were a strong influence in religion, so that's another language put in there. And then we tried to break it down into English. There's a lot of ways in there that translations can get simplified or mixed up. And in the Hebrew and Latin, the word love, actually there's 4 distinct loves. But we all have translated them into English as love. There are eros, romantic love, the love between partners, the love that was in the Song of Solomon. There is storge, a love between family members, the love of your children, the love of your parents, such as what Jacob and Joseph had. There's philia, which the word Philadelphia comes from, brotherly love or friendship, such as Jonathan and David. You know, the feeling you have for your sibling when they're doing what you want them to do. Sometimes they don't, and then, you know, that's a whole other thing. And then there's agape, the purest and holiest love of God, demonstrated by Christ showing his love for us by becoming human, by going through the difficulties, and by dying on the cross. It's unclear, it's not specific, it's not easy to take into the context which one of these loves Luke is referring to. But regardless, many of us would say that love your enemy. That is tough, no matter which one of these it is. It's tough. But yet, if you, if I, don't care about someone that we're opposed to, how does any change occur? How does someone go from enemy to someone resembling a friend? Or at least someone that you can see and discuss things easily with? How does this happen without love, grace, compassion? In seeking an understanding, I mean, when you have a war, there's peace negotiations. You need to talk to settle things. You need to see things eye to eye, or at least give and take. And think about your relationships that we just talked about. Those with your children, your siblings, your partner. Isn't that the love you guys do? Some give and take? Your partner may do something stupid that angers you, but do you stop loving them? Your child leaves the door open and you're angry, but do you stop loving them? Your brother took the car when you needed it. You're angry, but do you stop loving them? Every person deserves a chance to change. And quite honestly, no matter who you are, what color, what orientation, what gender, what denomination you are, there's similarities. There's things to work on. So if you have the right to change, doesn't someone else deserve that right? If you hold hate, grudges, and etc., it'll eat you from the inside out. It'll stop you from doing what God wants, and it'll affect your actions, your attitudes. And it even changes the way you look out on the outside. And think about that. We all know people who have been angry for most of their lives. Their hair is gray or leaving. They're frowning, their eyes are squinting, their lips are down. The words that come out of their mouth all the time you don't want to hear. And all that crap affects your heart and your blood pressure and all that. It's not just an emotion. It's a physical thing. And why let somebody else have that power over you? I believe everything that we've discussed throughout February can be summed up in a couple biblical cliches. Having faith of a mustard seed. You might not see the immediate actions of whatever you do, about the start of love, about the stop of worry, and the like. But if you don't plant that idea, if you don't start it, it's not going to happen, period. Everything needs a starting point. Another one. Do unto others as you Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If in your heart and mind you see everyone else as wrong, as an enemy, as someone who is different than your people, well, guess what? Everybody you run into is going to see that same thing in you. They're going to react in the same way. If we believe what Christ said, what God says, what the Bible says, we were all created in God's image. We were all created in God's image. Did you notice any qualifiers or exceptions in there? Nope. We all. So if you're looking at somebody and they look like God, how do you not show compassion, love, understanding, peace, and love? Because then, do you maybe feel that way towards God? Maybe not, but think about it. So God created us in God's own image. But I'm a strong believer that God and Christ and the Holy Spirit have a sense of humor. And in so doing so, God also gave us free will. God is not a dictator. So, yeah, you have every right to choose to be a schmuck or a jerk, or even something worse. That's your privilege. But if you choose to follow the directions that our Creator put into all these readings, could your life change? Could the world change? Could things be better? Nobody's asking you to put on rose-colored glasses or be a Pollyanna. We know there's evil out there. We know there's bad out there. We know there are things that need to be fixed at all times. But someone's got to start with it, or it's not going to change. We've got to remember that you, I, Jacob, and everybody we run into are an imperfect being. There was only one perfect person on this earth. And we have the ability to change, to become closer to that perfect being, to show love and compassion to others. And isn't it a good idea to give someone that chance, to give ourselves that chance? If you're a follower of God, show the world by your actions, your prayers, and what you do. Words are good, but they're not everything. And we all know people who can say one thing and do another. And I really do believe that you do check somebody's actions, their body language, and the like, and then you judge their words. So let people know what you're about by what you do, not just your words, not just your showing up and sitting in a pew in a building every Sunday. It's a good thing to be. The first six letters of being a Christian, a follower of God, is Christ, who was the perfect model. And I'm saying Christian again as a follower of Christ, not a denomination, a political view, or anything else. That's where the word came from, a follower of Christ. Whether you be black, white, brown, Catholic, Lutheran, UCC, follow Christ. It's the idea. And don't tarnish that title of being a follower of Christ by locking it away just inside of you. What is the old saying? You can't see a candle if you put a bushel over it? Similar. Instead, let that light that you have inside of you, the light of being of Christianity, show forth so that not a single person who runs into you and just looks at you and says hi has any question of who you are or what you believe. And if this all works and we all do it, think of this community, the state, and the surrounding world. Wouldn't that be pleasant? Worry, anxiety, hate, evil, gone. Something to strive for. Thanks be to God. So, I wanted to be easy on us, easy on myself, easy on Lori. So I came up with a great hymn for the next song. 437, Jesus Loves Me. Though there are more than one verse. So if you'd please rise, if able, and let's sing what we're familiar with here. Thank you. may be seated. And in case you're wondering, the person to your left, the person to the right, the person in front of you, the person behind you were the little children we were referring to, not just those kids that are in the back of the church. Now comes a moment for prayer, for us opening up our hearts, our souls, and our minds with issues and problems that we have. And sometimes they're difficult to tell others about. But again, if we want some change, we want some help, we have to present them to God, to Christ. So let's take a moment and look into our hearts and minds, and through silent prayer, send some petitions to God. Thank you, Lord, for your time and compassion. Amen. So, we now have sharing time of joys, concerns, happiness, and troubles. Does anyone have anything that we need to bring forward or to pray about? And I will say at the end of those petitions, God, in your mercy, and ask you to say, receive our prayer. Once again, the church gets quiet. Yep. I got you. One sec. We found out in the first service that Dan Prey is going to have a foot surgery, and he's going to be laid up for quite some time. So prayers for the doctors and staff watching over Dan and the patience and compassion that Dan's going to need to be living with him. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Rick.
We're grateful for the recovery Lori's brother's making. He had his heart surgery the day after Christmas, and we're approaching March, and he can finally do a flight of steps and is driving again. So, also for a friend of mine, David, who had open heart surgery the day before me at UW Hospital, about the time he was going to be released, he had a major stroke. So he's in Dane County somewhere in recovery.
And your brother-in-law's name?
Tom.
Prayers of thanks for Tom's recovery and his new lease on life and being able to get back into the community the way he was. And prayers of comfort, guidance, and protection for David, as he goes through a concerning time that he had not planned on. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Anybody else? And with the beautiful privilege of allowing the Spirit to go over the airwaves, we have people dropping in from Zoom and the like. Anybody from the airwaves?
No.
Well, then let us take a moment to pray together. Dearest God, we come before you today with grateful hearts, seeking your presence and guidance. We pray for your wisdom and strength as we navigate the challenges of our lives. Fill us with your peace and compassion, that we may be a source of comfort and hope to those around us, and to be lights in the darkness of this world. We lift up to you those who are suffering, those who are in need, those who are facing difficult times. We pray for healing and restoration of those who are sick and hurting, particularly those on our prayer list, and Dan and Tom and David. We ask that this blessings flow here to all that are in need and needed. We ask that you comfort and give us strength to those who are grieving. Surround everyone with your love and provide for their needs. We pray for your guidance and protection for those who are traveling, whether it be by land, sea, or air. Keep them safe from harm and bring them to their destination safely. And we pray for all those who have accepted or are in positions of leadership, that they make decisions with wisdom, compassion, and love of humankind, and that they may lead with integrity and justice. We pray for a peace and understanding among all people, that we may all, without exception, live together in harmony and respect. We ask all these things upon your name and continue with the prayer that Jesus taught us in the saying of, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come upon a time now to share our gifts, whether they be time, treasure, or talent, or even prayer. Giving back to God is a sign of our faith, allowing us to give stuff to be used and send out the good news to all of God that is offering us. There are boxes in the back. There is giving over the computer. There is sending in a check. Whatever works for you to help. At this time, the ushers will come forward for those that you wish to give offering that way. Joining the doxology, please. Let us join in the prayer of dedication. Lord, we offer you gratitude for the unknowingness and example of us. Thank you for the beauty of creation and the love of family and friends. We are not always worthy of your gifts, but we ask that you help us to use your gifts wisely by your glory and the good of the others. We promise to use our time, talent, and prayers to make a difference in the world. And for our final hymn, 614, a wish that I think we have throughout all the years and our times, let there be peace on earth. The slide says benediction. I almost don't have to say much more, do I? I mean, that was the world's greatest benediction. I have said many times, and I think I'll say throughout my career, that I'm not going to say that this service ends. This meeting ends, but service doesn't end. Actually, service begins when you walk out those doors and you walk out into the public. And we need to know and let people know what a follower of Christ is. So now may the love, peace, and understanding of our God fill our hearts and our lives. May we go forth from this place with a desire to love your neighbor as well as your enemies, to work for peace in our communities and this whole great big world. May we be a blessing to all who we encounter, and may God's grace, God's mercy, God's love be with all of us always. Amen.